It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that line forms on the right, babe. Ha! Not that Maggie.
On this Monday morning, I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Rami on the other side. And here we are. Another, you know, the Jets are amazing. Because here it is again. I mean, how many weeks in a row can we start with the end of the season? And then, like, Monday is the end of the season. And then we slowly build ourselves up as we start to look at the landscape of the AFC and the schedule of the Jets. And if you do the numbers and if you do this, and then we work our way up to say, hey, let's just, because we're so desperate. We are literally wandering through the desert hoping for an oasis. And we just realize it's a mirage every single Sunday. And it's hard to get mad. And I'm yelling and I'm not sure why, because I shouldn't be yelling. I mean, we're desperate for wins here. We're desperate for a football season. I get it. Even a Giant fan, I just want to watch football. I want to be able to turn on the TV and watch a team in here that plays meaningful games. And yet here we are over again at 3-8, 28-27. And look, there are so many different elements to this entire season. You could write a book, and there probably will be books written, about how this team was put together, the colossal failure that it is, the mulligan that was last year leading into this year, Aaron Rodgers' play. And, you know, I know we're going to focus on this game, but it's hard not to just look at this whole thing as a whole and go, have you ever been more, like, just completely baffled by an entire organization? It's unbelievable, the cloud that hovers over this team, that nothing can go right. And we could talk about Aaron Rodgers and this offense that obviously the first five drives of the game can't get a first down. The first half offense was just unbelievably bad. And we talk about getting off to a hot start. This team's incapable of it. And the no-show that was last week against Arizona to start the game like this, I mean, it's just disgusting. But it's not the offense in this game, honestly. And it's not good. And Aaron Rodgers, despite some of the numbers, if you just glance at it, say, hey, well, Aaron Rodgers wasn't terrible in this game. It's not his fault. Obviously, that's not the case. If you watch the game, he was terrible to start. And we'll get to the debacle that was the very end. But for me, the most puzzling thing about this team, and maybe it's not so puzzling after they fired the head coach, which clearly, I've been saying it for a while. I'm going to get tired of saying it. I'm not trying to, you know, I predicted them the AFC championship game. So the idea that I'm tooting my own horn, talking about what a disaster firing the head coach was. But I said it from the beginning. It made no sense. And this defense has completely fallen apart. Every aspect of the team has fallen apart. And while they probably never would have been a Super Bowl team or an AFC championship team or maybe even a playoff team, the season would be alive today if Woody Johnson didn't interject and fire the head coach to give it to this guy. Ulbrich is awful. This team is just tragically poorly coached. But for me, again, we all know the story of this game. It's the defense. This defense, right? And we all mock them, and when they compare themselves, and DJ Reed made the 85 Bears comment, right? We can forget all about that. Just the competency of this defense going up against the Colts team and a quarterback in Anthony Richardson who was completing less than half of his passes in an NFL where that's unheard of, where he was benched for the old man, not in the Jet uniform, the old man who used to be in a Jet uniform, the old man Flacco, who was brought back into this game to face the Jets to get back on the horse. And they allow this, like, and you know what's funny about this defense? And when I look at it, it's not even so much that they're terrible all game. And this goes back to even when they were good. Like, even when this was a top-tier defense, even when it was a top-five defense in the NFL. And really, that's what we screamed about, right? As we talk about this team, the craziness of it all is that the two things I thought, or that any team or any person who thought this team was going to be successful with all of its talent, the two main things were Aaron Rodgers is going to uplift this offense to just a level of consistency and well play and promising play and maybe some, you know, the ability to raise the level of Hall and Wilson. And it's been the opposite of that. But it was that and that you expected a top-tier quality defense. Those were the two hallmarks of what you were basing your decisions on. And they have been an absolute train wreck. And I know, you know, Mosley, Jermaine Johnson, they've had some injuries. I get it. But you've been able to run the football down their throat at times. The tackling's been awful. And then even the same thing that continues to haunt this defense back to even when it was good, when the game is on the line, this defense is atrocious. Even when it was good, even going back a few seasons. Like, just off the top of my head, I remember the Lions game a couple years ago where they had that game won and then they go right down the field. Like, even when this defense was playing well, the moments that they kill you are at the end of the game. And if you think about this right now, the two worst losses, arguably, now there's so many, who could get, but they allowed Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots to go right down the field and put it in the end zone to break their hearts. And now they allow Anthony Richardson, not once, but twice, to go down the field and stick it in the end zone. And you know what? To kill their season, let alone the game. And here's the thing about this defense. After, and to my point about when the game's on the line, after the touchdown that the Colts scored to go up 10-0 at the start of the second quarter. From that moment on, the next seven drives by the Indianapolis Colts resulted in 6 points. One was after the failed fourth down conversion. So that's what the failed fourth down conversion from the Jets leads to a field goal for the Colts. But listen to this over the seven drives. Just listen to the amount of yards. 10 yards, 2 yards, 7 yards, minus 11 yards and a fumble. One decent drive of 41 yards leads to a field goal. 3 and out -6, 3 and out -7. That's 7 drives and 36 yards. That's what the defense did while the offense was playing well. And I heard Lori say this a bunch about complimentary football. For a brief moment in time, they had Aaron Rodgers and that offense awaking from its slumber of the first half, going down the field, Breece Hall making big plays, Davante Adams running through people, showing toughness, big yards after the catch. They score 3 touchdowns. The offense is actually building momentum, and this defense allows 6 points. And again, one's 10 yards they get after the failed fourth down conversion with the, you know, with the tight end fake or whatever you want to call it. 7 drives for 36 yards, taking control of this game. The Jets are taking control of this game. And we could talk, and we will, at 888-808-1019. The unacceptable play from this quarterback. The end of the game and what he's trying to do, throwing the ball backwards, taking sacks, the inability to go down the field consistently, all of it. I'm not defending Aaron Rodgers. I want to make this clear. But there was a time in this game from the start of the second quarter until the two last drives of the game after the touchdown to Yeboah. From that touchdown to make it 10-0 at the start of the second quarter till the touchdown from Yeboah, the Jets are dominating the football game. They're dominating. And the offense has found itself. They're scoring points. They're dominating the football game. And it's going in one direction. Seven drives, 36 yards. And then the touchdown to Yeboah, and the game is on the line. And this defense folds. And whether it's, you know, obviously, whether it's Gardner's mistake, whether it's the safety's mistake, who cares? In that last drive, they go, what was it, six plays for 70 yards. That final drive, they make the 39-yard play to Pierce. That's really the game right there. That's the second play of that drive. This is Anthony Richardson. This guy can't complete half of the passes he throws. You have to, in those two moments, in those two drives, you have got to make him make plays. You cannot, because the one thing this passing attack did, I think a little bit more under Joe Flacco, but even with Richardson, they've been able to make some big plays. You look at their yards per reception, it's one of the better teams in the league. What they can't do is make sustained drives. You get into those situations, the one thing you cannot do is allow this team to make plays down the field. Keep it in front of you, make him make completions, because he hasn't been able to do it. He is a young quarterback who's already been benched in favor of a statue in Joe Flacco. He's coming back for his first game in your building against this defense, and for a seven drive stretch, he's got 36 yards. And you allow him to turn it on, go down the field and get in the line, in the last touchdown drive, get 60 yards on three plays and be on the precipice of the end zone like that? This defense is a joke. This defense has been a joke. And everything I thought about this team heading into the season, all of the strengths I thought that they had, we knew the coaching staff was weak, right? I remember starting the year and I said, look, the quarterback play has been so bad for this franchise that it's impossible to get a good read on what kind of coach Saleh was. I said it over and over again. I still think there's some element of truth in that. But I can't tell you that Saleh's a good head coach. And I can't tell you this team was floundering and had no business losing to Denver, although look at what Denver's done over the stretch. They're a block field goal away from beating Kansas City, and they just dominated the Falcons. That defense is legit. Now, that's not excusing the game. And I understand they didn't have a kicker. Greg the Leg was horrible before they made a decision. And that's the other thing. They get a 58-yard field goal from the kicker. They're forced to play after the Chiefs snap up theirs. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how different things have happened. And it's something new every game. But this defense, and again, my point was, like, the coaching staff we knew was bad. Right, you knew Saleh, even if I defended him, I didn't expect him to be a great head coach. I just didn't think you could get a full read on him. And you got that full read. The firing was still a mistake, but the coaching on this team has been atrocious. But the defense, the talent, and again, Mosley, you know, the Jermaine Johnson, there's been some injuries to it. There is no excuse for the way Sauce Gardner's playing. There is no excuse for the tackling on this team. There is no excuse for allowing a quarterback completing 44% of his passes to go down the field 60 yards on three plays and stick it in the end zone to beat you. There's just no excuse. And we can get into everything else. The coach, the way he handled the end of the game instead of going for it on a 3-7 team to try and win the game right there and trusting his defense, or whether using the timeout there instead of just allowing the delay of game and kicking a 40-yard field goal as a 35-yard field goal. Or how about just kick the field goal instead of playing games? Right, we could talk about all that, but ultimately, this defense had an opportunity against a lousy offense. And listen, they held Taylor under 60 yards rushing. Anthony Richardson beat them with that. Those final two drives, it's all passes. That's Anthony Richardson with his arm, the most inaccurate quarterback in the NFL. A guy who started less than 30 games between college and pros against this defense. Went down the field two separate times. Went 70 yards two consecutive times. and on the last one went 60 in three plays. It's an embarrassing performance from this New York Jets team. And now, forget it. I mean, the season's over, and you're stuck. And now we're going to stop. After today, I'm going to take phone calls on the game, 888-808-1019, and we'll take calls about how miserable this team is, how miserable the defense is, how awful Aaron Rodgers was, and we'll get to it. We have 3 hours. I am not skirting the blame off of Aaron Rodgers. He was awful at the start of this game. He was awful at the end of the game. I thought they were, like, if you want to talk about what could have happened with Aaron Rodgers, right, and off the injury and what we've seen from him at the end of the season 2 years ago with Green Bay, wasn't his best year then, and you could have sold me on a lot of things from him. When he took the field at the end of the game, and I know that's with no timeouts, one timeout heading into that, it's an incredibly tough spot. And throughout the game, I felt like this. But he steps on the field at the end of the game, there is zero aura. There is zero confidence. There is zero, we have Aaron Rodgers. There is zero of it. Like, it's amazing to me, because I thought there would still be some of that. Even if he lost his fastball, even if he hasn't been the same player, I still expected some level of, okay, offense, here we go, we have Aaron Rodgers. And there's none of it. You feel dead at any opportunity, for like 4th and 2, to go win the game. You have Aaron Rodgers. You brought this guy here. He's a 4-time MVP. He's a Hall of Famer. And you don't trust him to make that play. And you know what? I don't even know if he's wrong not trusting him. That's how bad it's been. But there is literally nothing. There is no benefit of having this guy. There is no will come through. There is no confidence. There is no aura. There is nothing. And he takes, Aaron Rodgers, and I talked about this on my Saturday show. Some of the great stuff about Aaron Rodgers is his ability at the line of scrimmage. And yet, the pre-snap penalties are still there. The delay of games are still there. And in that moment, Aaron Rodgers doesn't take bad sacks. This is a 4-time MVP. This is a guy who knows how to finish off games. He's throwing the ball behind him and taking terrible sacks to end the game. Like, what happened? How do you put on this uniform and have all of your ability, smarts, confidence, 4 MVPs and a Super Bowl championship suddenly just be taken from your body? I don't understand it. Could he not make the throws? Can he not go deep? Can he not run 7 yards on a 3rd and 6? Are there certain things maybe you could expect Aaron Rodgers to struggle with? Absolutely. Looking like a shell of himself, throwing the ball backwards at the end of the game when you don't have with like 20 seconds left and one timeout, taking a sack instead of throwing the ball away. Like, these are things I didn't expect. The amount of delay of games we've seen over the course of the years, the problem with the snap count. These are the things holding this team back. The defense inability to get off the field. I cannot believe this team is 3-8. And I know many of you are laughing, saying, what do you mean you can't believe? What, are you an idiot? Yes, I'm an idiot. I thought they were going to win this game. I did. I thought they were going to win this game. They were dominating the football game. I thought they were going to win it. I didn't have any real belief moving forward with this season necessarily, but I thought they were going to win this game. It is unbelievable to me how bad this team is. It is unbelievable to me how they will find a way to lose. This is, again, I've said it, I'll say it again, this is the most perplexing team I can ever remember in this city. Bar none. There has never been a team. I know I wasn't really aware of it or remember it, but you know, the Mets and the worst team money could buy, and like, there's been a handful of disappointing teams and surprising teams, and teams that have played well with less talent, teams that have played poorly with more talent. This, with Aaron Rodgers, this defense, this team to be 3-8 and lose the games in the manner in which they lose them, is the most perplexing team I can ever remember. It's unbelievable. And now we're done. No more. I railed on Saturday about how we don't talk about the game anymore. It's all about who's going to coach the team, who's going to be the quarterback next year. I'm sick of it. These teams, they put us in this position where we're not talking about the games anymore. Well, here we are. That was it. That was the last one. Now we don't care. And you know what? Now they'll start winning. That's how it works. That's what will happen. Now they'll win and they'll lose their draft position and they'll be in a more... Because again, as bad as Aaron Rodgers is, if he wants to play, I don't know what else you'd do. This is the worst situation you could possibly be in. How could they have gotten this so wrong? 888-808-1019. It is... The Giants are miserable. I think the Giants are a worse team. I think if the Jets found a way to play the Giants this year, they'd win the football game. That's how bad the Giants are. But at least the Giants have a path to something. I have no idea. The Jets are just spinning their wheels. They'll probably spin them next year. It'll look just like this. And God help them. Who's going to want to be a part of this? Who's going to want to come in and save this? 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your phone calls on the Jets. We'll get into the other aspects of the game. But for me, we could yell about Aaron Rodgers. We can yell about the offense all within your bounds. To be pissed off at every aspect of this team, the coaching, the offense. But for me, this defense was on a roll. This defense had 7 straight drives and gave up 36 total yards. The offense was putting the ball in the end zone. They had built up a lead. And then 2 consecutive 70-yard drives by the least accurate quarterback in the NFL who had been benched for Joe Flacco the last few weeks came in and went right down the field. Just like Jacoby Brissett a few weeks ago when they lost that game to New England, they allow terrible quarterbacks. At least right now, to be fair, to Richardson's the start of his career, but right now he's not very good. They allow rookie or second-year inaccurate quarterbacks. They allow journeymen. They allow anybody who's under center to go down the field and break their hearts at the end of these games, and it's atrocious. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls next on The Fan. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Open it up to your Jet phone calls. Of course, we'll talk Juan Soto because there's big news. I don't know if you heard the big news, but Juan Soto had a meeting with the New York Mets and it went extremely well. Like, you can't believe how well it went. It almost went as well as his meeting with Toronto, which almost went as well as his meeting with the Boston Red Sox. I mean, it's amazing. I'm surprised he still talked to another team after the Red Sox. I heard it was such an incredible 3-hour meeting that it was just like, how is he not going to be a Red Sox? And now the Mets, oh, they just blew him away. Like, I don't understand why this is. It's in no one's interest to say the meeting sucked. I'm not saying it did. I'm sure the meeting went well. I'm sure the Mets have a very compelling case. They have a team that was just in the NLCS. They've got a young executive who's one of the better ones in the sport and has been. The richest owner in the game and New York City. They have a very compelling case. I'm sure the meeting went very well. We'll get into all this later, but I mean, it's just the idea of like, oh, the meeting went well, and everyone's like, whoa, good luck, Yankees. On the back page about how great the, yeah, okay. Of course the meeting went well. No, Juan Soto's going to come out and go, eh. Scott Boras is going to tell everybody, yeah, the meeting kind of went, eh. I don't know. I think the Mets are out of it. That's what he'll do. So dumb. So dumb. Toronto owes the greatest pitch of all time. It was unbelievable. Sold him on the healthcare system, everything. It was tremendous. milk and paper, milk and plastic bags. He thought it was just what a great, great city, great time. Let's go to Let's go to Canada. He'll be the guy there, not just in the whole country. 888-808-1019. But we'll start with your Jet calls. Deshaun in Newark. What's up, Deshaun?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Listen, first of all, I have no skin in the game because, you know, I'm a Giant fan. So, you know, anything I say about the Jets is just going to seem like it, you know, bounces off the wall. What I want to talk about is our squad. And right now, you know, I'm looking at people talking about Arch Manning, right? And we don't know. We have no idea what Arch Manning is going to look like by the time he does his 2 or 3 years at Texas, number one. And then number two, why would his family have him go behind Eli and or Peyton? Because there's nothing but disaster behind that. If he has success, it taints Peyton and Eli. And if he doesn't, then he's going to look like a failure.
Wait, this one, I don't understand. What should he do, not play?
No. I'm just saying to you, like, we're looking at it like, man, you know, if we get Arch, we're going to be a savior. I think now they should get the quarterback that's available now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. What's your point about what about his uncles?
No. What I'm saying is, okay, if you look at it from my standpoint anyway, if he goes to the Giants and wins 4 or 5 Super Bowls, what does that do to Eli?
Oh, if he goes to the Giants?
It almost takes the shine off him. And if he goes to, like, the Colts and didn't get to the playoffs, then it makes him look like a failure.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Nor do I care right now about, I thank you for the call, Deshaun. I appreciate it. But why are we talking about Archie Manning? Like, honestly, why is that on the forefront of your mind and how it'll work inside the Manning family? And the dynamic of what it'll prove. It'll prove nothing. They're all their own individual people. And yeah, I mean, if he plays for the teams that his uncles played for, will he forever be linked to them and measured by them? Sure. I mean, but who the hell cares about that right now? I understand your point that people think that it's a good spot because of the crop of quarterbacks coming out this year that, you know, if you could lose for another year and get Archie Manning next year. But I agree. You got to get the quarterbacks now. You can't wait. The Giants need to get a quarterback now. I'm not waiting for Manning. I agree with you on that point. Same thing with the Jets. But the Jets are more likely to do that because I still don't see a way. Like, this didn't change anything for me in how I view the Jets' future here. I don't know. It's not that I want to keep Aaron Rodgers. If he wants to play, do you really want to take $49 million? Some ridiculous cap hit?
49, yeah.
49 million. You can't.
That's not true, though. The Russell Wilson cap hit this year and next year is both more than that. And Denver said, good riddance.
I mean, I guess.
And it was the right move. Look at Bo Nix.
No, I understand that. They were able to get a partner to trade him. But, yeah, I mean, I guess.
No, they cut him, and then Seattle picked him. Pittsburgh
picked him up. You're right. I guess. You want to draft Bo Nix and go do that? I guess that's, I just don't see it. You can do that, and then, I mean, they have a good defense. They're still talent. You want to take the young quarterback, but again, I don't know if they're going to be in a position to draft a quarterback. Bo Nix was one of several guys in this big-time draft where I don't know if there are enough quarterbacks to do that, and they're not going to get to the top. By the way, it was a terrible day for the Giants as well. I mean, everybody lost. Giants went from picking second in the draft to now picking fifth in the draft. I get it. You want to blow it all up? I don't know if they're willing to do that. And I honestly don't see a way around it. Paul in New City. What's up, Paul?
Hey, I got to tell you, I love the passion that you bring to the show. You're really growing on me. I think you do a great job.
Well, thank
with
you.
With that said, in February, I called you with three things, and I always felt like you kind of laughed at me when I said, I think the Jets are a 7 or 8 win team, and you were, and I give you credit because you're not hiding from the fact that you said they're going to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe when you said that. But listen, I've made many predictions,
sure,
and I've been wrong many times. that, you know, it's the nature of the business.
I still think they're talented enough. Like, I do. I look around the rest of the AFC. Like, I don't think the Jets are less talented than almost any team. I think they're good enough to be a real threat inside the AFC. I still think that. For whatever reason, they're a disaster. It's hard to explain.
And I guess the reason I thought they were going to win 7 or 8 games was coaching is so important. I thought he was. I absolutely thought he was one of the worst coaches, Sal. And without a doubt, I do know that the owner, Woody, come on, he's terrible. So it starts up top.
No,
that's why I thought they were going to win 7 or 8 games. They may not even win 7 or 8 games.
No, hopefully they don't. Hopefully they don't for the Jets' sake, but. I'll tell you this, if they, again, and this is if, I think firing the coach was a disaster. I think they have 2 more wins. You could argue, I just don't think week 5 is the time to fire a head coach. And look at the numbers defensively from what happened after the firing to before the firing.
It was 17 points, now they're giving up 27 points. So you're right there.
Yeah, and if they had a kicker, they might have another win or two. Like, this team... I was wrong about them. I'm not trying to say I wasn't. You were right. I was wrong. I thought they were much better than they are. Totally agree. I still think that if things were just handled slightly, if they recognized that Zuerlein couldn't kick, and if they didn't fire the coach, they might have 5 or 5, 6 wins right now and still not be good enough to be what I thought they'd be, but the season would be alive.
Right, right. And then... just 2 quick points. I know you got a lot of callers. I feel like I know you're a big Yankee fan, and I like the Yankees. I'm more of a Mets fan, but I like the Yankees. I root for the Yankees when the Mets aren't, you know, playing the Yankees.
I got you.
I feel like you're always defending Aaron Boone, and I said back in February, I feel like he's maybe better than 7 or 8 managers, and you really went to bat for him.
I still do.
I think he's god awful.
He took him to the World Series.
Oh, come on.
I know, right? I know. So
I don't want to argue with you. You know, it's your show. Mm-hmm. I think they went there. They're a talented team. I just don't think he's ever going to get you over the hump. But
he got them to the World Series. To say they couldn't get over the hump, they dropped the ball in the 5th inning. They're on their way to the game 6 with all the momentum. Like, I'm not saying he's a great manager. Again, this is the thing. Because, again, you say, oh, I defend Aaron Boone. Because you don't call up and say, I'm not sure about Aaron Boone. You go, there's only like 5 managers better. He's the worst. Well, when you say he's the worst and he's got a winning percentage only second to Roberts in the Dodgers over this last handful of years, like, and everyone tells me how terrible Brian Cashman is. Well, if he's getting a terrible team, and again, and Susan Waldman said this, and she's totally right. I heard her say it a bunch. They literally got no production out of left field. They got no production out of third base. Up until August, they got no production out of second base. They got no production out of first base. Until August, they didn't have any production out of the catching position. Like, their bullpen was an absolute mess. They did nothing at the trade deadline to help them with their bullpen. The starting rotation was without Cole to start the year. Then, you know, different guys fell apart. Obviously, Stroman was a disaster by the end of the year. You're dealing with the head case that is Rodon. And yet, with the young upstart Orioles that everybody loves, and the Red Sox team that's good enough to woo Juan Soto, they managed to win the division and get to the World Series. And by the end of it, that bullpen that was a disaster, he somehow massaged to be the best unit on the team and get them through the first 2 series with the offense not performing. And Aaron Judge didn't hit. If Aaron Judge hit a little bit in the first couple games of the World Series, they might have a win. But we're so quick to blame the manager. That's my only point. Again, no production in left field, no production at third base, no production at second base, no production at first base. Volpe wasn't very good at shortstop. No production to catcher until Wells started getting it going. That's more than half the team, no production.
Brian Cashman sucks.
There you go. They had 2 of the best players in the world in center and right, no doubt about it. And the rotation pitched very well, and they have an ace at the top of the staff that wasn't there until the second half of the year. But somehow, he's atrocious. He managed to get that team 94 wins and to the World Series, but he's atrocious. He's an atrocious manager. The bullpen literally falling apart. And he got massaged it into be one of the better units where they, you know, went 16 innings before giving up a run in the playoffs. But he's not just he's atrocious. So yeah, I'll defend him. And again, he was in the World Series. John in Freehold, what's up, John?
Good morning, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Chris, this Jet situation is a sinking ship, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
It's so bad, Chris. And, Chris, you got to do me a favor, please. I'm a huge Jet fan, and I love listening to you. You do a great show. You do a great job. You got to stop referring to Aaron Rodgers as a four-time MVP and a Hall of Famer.
He is.
Those days are long gone.
I mention it to draw the distinction. Right, I know, but I mention it to draw the distinction of what we're saying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I never. It's not like I'm.
It's historic.
I know, but it's not like I'm saying. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. I just want to clear it up. It's not like I'm saying, hey, lay off of him. Don't worry, they'll be fine. He's a four-time MVP and a World Series, a Super Bowl champion. I say it as if, can you believe what we're watching from a four-time MVP and a Super Bowl and Super Bowl champion? Like, he was that. I mean, you know, he isn't anymore.
No, he's not. This decline has been, you know, historic. And I've never seen a run defense get gashed the way this team gets gashed game after game after game throughout this entire season.
Well, I mean, Jonathan Taylor ran for less than 60 yards in this game. They gave up 91 rushing yards in this game. The run defense wasn't the issue.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this isn't Pee Wee football. This is the National Football League, Chris. And now we're talking about tackling techniques in week. What week is this now? I mean, come on. The idea that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back next year and he's going to be a good soldier and he's going to teach and coach and massage and grow Jordan Travis into an NFL quarterback. He doesn't want any part of that situation.
I don't agree with that.
I think you're dead wrong there, Chris. Okay. I don't think he wants any part of that. He didn't want any part of that in Green Bay with Jordan Love.
Yeah, when he was still in the prime of his career for a franchise that he won division after division after division before. He's done nothing for the Jets.
But that's my point, Chris. Was he really? He was already on a decline in
not when they drafted. He won two MVPs. He won two MVPs after they drafted Love.
What did he do the 2 years prior to coming to the Jets?
No, I understand that, but you're using the Love. You can't just throw that at me. You can't make points, and then when we make counterpoints, go, yeah, but what about this? Like, you said he wasn't willing to work with Love. I agree with you. He was still in the prime of his career. It was for a franchise that he'd won how many divisions for, won a Super Bowl for. They never once in his entire career, not once, drafted an offensive weapon in the first round for him. Not once. The first offensive weapon that's drafted in his entire tenure is his backup. That's understandable to be pissed off from. And after that draft pick, he went out and won two MVPs. This is a completely different situation as far as that goes. He has done nothing for the Jets, absolutely nothing. He was willing to work with Zach Wilson. If they draft a quarterback, he will be willing to work with him.
Well, I disagree, Chris.
Okay.
You agree with me a second ago in that he had a steady decline of 2 years prior to coming to
the doubt. No doubt.
And they saw that in Green Bay, and that's why they moved on.
100%.
Not only with the decline from play, but just all the drama that we see here.
No doubt. But again, you got to understand, this isn't the same thing. When you talk about the drama and his ego, look what he did for the Green Bay Packers. That was an organization he was with for years, and there was, you know, elements of frustration and bitterness built up over almost two decades worth of working with that organization. This is a brand new thing. I'm not arguing with how bad he is. I'm not defending him on how awful his play is or how steep the decline is, and I have no misconceptions that he'll be great next year. But what I don't think it's fair to assume that some of the off-the-field stuff that went on with Green Bay will go on here. His unwillingness to work. We heard that he was terrible with young receivers and young players. What's the first thing that happened here with the Jets? Everybody loved him. He's going to Broadway shows. They're buying each other chains. It hasn't resulted in winning. I'm not trying to tell you it has, but I think it's different when you put in the equity that he put in with the Green Bay Packers for years. Won division after division after division after MVP after MVP. Won the Super Bowl. And they never, ever drafted him an offensive weapon in the first round. Ever. The first offensive draft pick in the first round while he was there was his backup. Was his replacement. That led to bitterness. It also led to him playing some of the best year of his career where he won back-to-back MVPs. You talk about a steep decline. The year before that last year with Green Bay, he won the MVP. So what he was willing to do for Green Bay and what he was willing to let slide for Green Bay and what, you know, extra mentorship kind of stuff he was willing to do for Green Bay will be different than it will be for the New York Jets. And I'm not saying that's a reason to keep him. I'm just trying to paint it as, like, you can't say he won't be willing to do stuff. We don't know. And to be fair, I don't know. He might be. He might be unwilling to do that. But it seemed like he was willing to groom Zach Wilson. I would think, considering what a debacle it's been, how poorly he's played, how much they've invested in him, that he, if he plays next year, as long as he plays, if you bench him, yeah, I don't expect him to necessarily be the guy with a clipboard helping the young kid. But if he's the starting quarterback, I think he will definitely take part in helping groom the young drafted quarterback. I don't think that would be an issue. This is not the same situation as Green Bay. And that's why I think it's kind of the perfect situation. I don't want to pay, like, and especially with these group of quarterbacks, I don't know if they could be thrusted right in the starting role. And then if you're not going to do that and you can't draft a quarterback, I certainly don't want to pay him $49 million and then pay somebody else more money to come in here and be a journeyman, where I can have Aaron Rodgers hope, you know, staying one more year with the young quarterback that you draft, working for him and working with him. I still think that's probably, considering the cap hit, the best thing for me. I understand there have been different situations. Denver is now flourishing with Bo Nix. They've also got one of the better offensive minds of the last two generations as their head coach. Like, I don't know who the Jets head coach is going to be. Sean Payton got Bo Nix. Yeah, Sean Payton is one of the great offensive minds we've seen. Who's going to be the coach for the Jets next year? I have no idea.
Well, you limit your options if you tell them they have to work with a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
For 1 year? Why? Or as opposed to what else? They're still grooming a young quarterback. If you draft him, they get him to sit for 1 year and work with him.
They have Tyra Taylor under contract for next year.
I understand that. You still work with a third-string drafted quarterback then. Like, I don't think it makes it any less appealing. If he's not there, what's the quarterback situation and why is that more appealing? Why is it more appealing not to have Aaron Rodgers in the room?
Because watch what's happening right now.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know he's not the future of the team. You don't expect him to win next year anyway.
I know, but it doesn't help to have him moping around and everything.
I guess if he's moping around, he'll play. They'll probably be better than this year because you can't be worse. And if the coach comes in here and is actually somewhat of a competent head coach, you might get a decent season. Not a winning season, not a Super Bowl season like we predicted, but it'll probably be better than 3-8.
But why is that a good thing, to have one decent season with Aaron Rodgers so that you can't draft a quarterback?
Because
you're just going backwards. You're setting.
No, but if you draft a quarterback this year. Like, I don't. You want to eat $49 million? You made this deal with him. It's not the same. I don't think it's the same thing as Russell Wilson and the Jets. I don't. I don't think they'll be better off getting rid of him. I don't think they'll be much better off. I'm not going to scream if they don't keep him. Whatever. But if they think that's the best way to go, I think the best way to go would be to draft a young quarterback, keep Aaron Rodgers for this 1 year instead of paying $49 million to not have him play and to pay somebody else to be the quarterback. I guess you're right. You could bring Tyrod Taylor. He's already on the books. But I'm not paying $49 million for him not to be here. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't do it.
We're not even at Thanksgiving yet.
I know. It sucks. It's the worst. Oh, here we go. You mentioned Boone once. Steven Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Wow. That was interesting. Let me just, you know, before I get to my Yankee thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, isn't Aaron Rodgers already in charge of the offense?
Yeah.
How is it going to... How is it going to change? And he is under contract for next year?
Yeah, so, and if they get rid of him, they cut him. It's a $49 million dollar cap.
You know what? I would call him Ambassador Johnson. I'll call him Embarrassment Johnson.
Yeah.
For Embarrassment Johnson, that's Monopoly money anyway.
But there's a hard cap. It's not the same thing as baseball. Right, he can't spend more money.
Yes. So I don't want to get caught up in the weeds of this whole, like you said, it's a debacle.
Yep.
Perfect work. Anyway, but you know, this whole banging on the Yankees, and people are still calling, and you answer the question. I mean, is it frustrating? Yes. Is it the luxury tax era of baseball has changed the landscape dramatically? Yes. I mean, what were they supposed to? Yes, Aaron Judge got on base 8 out of his last 11 plate appearances in the World Series.
Yeah.
But it was too little too late. Mm. I mean, you know, and I guess with certain guys, if they're just off a little, like if they're off, they're off. And once they lock in, you can't get them out. I don't know how you blame that on Boone and Cashman. You know, I really felt like once they got to the World Series, okay, enough with beating up Cashman, you got here. Now it's time for the players to play.
I agree. And too little too late when you drop the ball in the fifth inning and you allow that inning. Yeah, if they won that game 7-1 and we're going back to L.A., I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have been too little too late. I don't know. But you know what? I forgot to mention it because the caller just said something that made me laugh, right? Because prior to this, we're talking about the Jets. This is the perfect example, of fans not really caring about the stuff they say they care about. It's about winning and losing. It always is, and rightfully so. But we get hung up on things that we're told is the problem, or we see is the problem, because, right, as we're talking about Aaron Boone here, all we yell about Aaron Boone is, when's the last time they practiced the fundamentals? They never work on the fundamentals. This is an embarrassment. They're a poor fundamental team. When do they work on it? Aaron Boone's the worst head coach. That's a reflection of the coach. How can you not work on the fundamentals? Blah, blah, blah. Then you find out the Jets worked on tackling this week. In the middle of the season? Now you're going to work on tackling? How embarrassing is that, man? Now you work on tackling? What is this, peewee football? You got to work on tackling? These are professionals, man. And we're having tackling practices? When you coach the fundamentals, it's embarrassing. You have to do it. When the fundamentals fail you, it's why the hell aren't you practicing the fundamentals? Here's the point. The Jets lost. The Yankees didn't win the World Series, and they, to many people's minds, and mine too on some level, they should have been better than they were, at least over the course of the regular season. They lost to a very good team. But you could argue they should have been more in that series, despite how close it was. And the lack of defense, which I think is more on the lack of defensive players, hurt them. But that's the perfect example. We yell and scream that this coach didn't work enough on fundamentals, and then when the Jets try and work on the fundamentals of tackling, we laugh and mock them. And he's not the only one. I've heard that a bunch. We're working on tackling now. What a joke. Yeah, well, they didn't tackle well, so they practiced it. But we don't want to hear any of this. It's all noise. Oh, the manager doesn't work on fundamentals. There's this, there's that. They didn't win, so we're pissed. That's it. And it makes you mock them when they do it. You kill them when they don't. They're 3-8. And the Yankees, only got to game 5 of the World Series. So, and this is why I laugh. When people go, oh, you defend this one, you're constantly defending the Yankees. Yeah, because I literally just took a call that pretty much made it sound like the Yankees and the Jets are in the same boat with their frustration. And the Yankees were in game 5 of the World Series. And the Jets are 3-8. And the Giants are 2-8. There's a difference between blowing it in the World Series and not being quite as good as you think they should be, and then losing and having the season done before Thanksgiving. There's a difference. 888-808-1019. But we don't have to talk about it. We can talk about the Jets. We'll talk about Juan Soto. The Knicks with back-to-back wins against the Brooklyn Nets. Nothing like the Nets to fix a fledgling start to a Knicks season. After just a killer loss to the Bulls, they bounce back with two wins over the Nets. We can talk about that. Quick, the best backup goalie in the NHL with another victory for the New York Rangers. And a lot, you know, it's not that we're going to get into it too much here, but one of these days I'm going to. I know the Rangers, like, the Rangers have been winning here, and the Rangers haven't got off to a terrible start. But every Ranger fan I talk to, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know about this team. Like, more Ranger fans are more down on this team. They're what, 10? They're 11-4-1? And it's like, oh, man, I don't know. This Ranger team, I don't know.
It's the 2022 into 23 Yankees.
Yeah.
Because they went to the conference championship, correct, but they were not close in the conference championship.
Correct. And now there are some things. They're not scoring as many goals. The goalies have been, you know, really the force behind some of the winning here.
Right. You're seeing the same issues. Zibanejad
has struggled. You're seeing some of the same issues. I get it. But it's just, they are 11-4. They're acting like they're freaking awful. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back. Take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.